Grab the keys to a new Toyota.
Let's go!
Grab your board. Grab your boots. Grab your tent. Live it up this fall with a low lease on the sporty 2024 Corolla. Adventure-ready RAV4 Hybrid, rugged Tacoma, and even the new all-hybrid 2025 Camry.
Grab the keys, come on, let's go!
Toyota, let's go places. Offer available through TFS to buyers with premium-rated credit. That's 93024.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? The preseason rolls along. We are getting ready for game number 3 of the preseason. Once again, going up against Anaheim, this time on the road, the Sharks' first road game of the preseason. Game 3 of 6 of the preseason for San Jose. And the one trend that I am looking to see continue is just what I think has been some pretty decent power play activity from San Jose. And listen, I understand that this is the preseason. You can only take away so much, but I have liked what I have seen from the power play. And I think that that's something that the Sharks need to improve upon. I think that's obvious. If you want to be a successful team or just not a bad team in the NHL, you need to have a quality power play. And you know, just the way they've moved the puck, the way they've situated themselves, some of the aggression that they have shown, it has been more in line with what I have wanted to see. Obviously, we don't know if this is a short-term or a long-term trend, but I do think overall the Sharks are trending in a positive direction, and the play that I have seen from the first two games, even if you're walking away and asking yourself, well, you know, it's preseason and they're losing and, you know, you can take it one way or the other, it just looks like they are growing as a team compared to what we saw a year ago. And I think that one of the things that I noticed last year was that Jan Ruda, who is a quality player in this league and knows what it takes to win Stanley Cups, and, you know, he was very tentative throughout the early part of the season, and he got more aggressive as the year went on and started putting more pucks on frame. In the first shift of the game on Tuesday night, for him, he put one immediately on frame, and that's good. Just get pucks to the net. I am not a guy that's going to be screaming at every moment, shoot, 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 but I do believe that if you put pucks in the crease or put them in a dangerous area and make the defense and the goalie react, you can have good things happen. You can have tip pucks. You can have chaos that can serve you well, that can get the other team's stress level up, that can make them reactionary, especially early on in a game where if no one's really set, no one's really settled into the tempo of the game, yeah, fire one in, test the goalie, test the defense, make them answer those questions. And Jan Ruda, in my opinion, got better as last year went on, and he is continuing to develop his game and, you know, looking like he is a more and more capable player than what we saw through the first part of last year. And I think that he's settled into San Jose and looks ready to have a big season. That's one of the things that, you know, I'm a little bit excited about. And then we got two straight games from Tyler Toffoli, and I liked his play. I think that he obviously, you look at his stats as a consistent professional in the National Hockey League, he can get it done. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind, and that's why I was so happy about that pickup for San Jose, because he is the type of guy that can help you win games, that can put the puck in the back of the net, that can get it into dangerous places. And while we are all learning what these guys can be for San Jose, it's hard not to either underreact or overreact, but you just want to try and take it all in. I mean, Jake Walman had 2 points the other night. I liked his play. Again, he is still learning the San Jose system. He is still learning his teammates, trying to gain his chemistry and try and figure out what everybody else is doing out there. But you want to see those positive performances, and you want to see guys look like they are settling in. And Daniil Gushin, he's a guy who's shown he has the ability to put the puck in the back of the net, and he did that in this game. You also had Alex Wenberg scoring a goal. You had Jack Thompson getting in on things. And, you know, these are the types of things that I want to consistently see happening out there on the ice. So right now, I'm not trying to overreact or underreact, but there are positive steps being taken by the squad, and I'm personally excited about that. And to watch a player like Vitek Vanacek get back out there after not having played a game since last February, that was exciting as well. He's a high caliber goalie. He has ability. He has veteran experience. He's someone that you can rely on. And I think that he was acquired for a reason. So right now, the Sharks are, in my opinion, doing good things with their training camp and preseason. And these are things that I would like to see continue for San Jose. And I would hope that as they continue to learn under Ryan Warsawski and figure out his system and new guys get more acclimated and used to their new teammates, we will see more high-level play. I did want to get more into the audio that we had at the start of training camp from Mike Greer, just talking about things at a 30,000-foot level. And, you know, he was asked if the onset of camp and getting things going was like just moving on from last year, which obviously was not a great year for the Sharks, even if it did earn them the number one overall pick.
Hopefully, yeah. You know, I think last year's rock bottom for us as an organization, and now it's time to start moving forward and pushing things forward. And you know, I think we're, not only myself, but I think the players and everyone's excited to get going and kind of you know, like you said, I guess turn the page and see what this year brings.
I think that has to be the hardest thing for someone in Mike Greer's position, to know that you are brought in to turn things around, to put the team in a place where they can win. How do you do that as a franchise? You've got to be bad. You've got to get those high-level draft picks. You have got to be a team that doesn't win. And that is counterintuitive, because you think, how do you turn things around? You win. The reality in sports is you lose. And you get high-level draft picks, and you bring in players, and you clear out cap space, and you tear it all down, and then you start to build it back up. When the trade of Tomas Hertl was done last year, which I think caught people by surprise, and I understand because he was a fan favorite and he went to a rival team, I think that was, you know, truly when people realized that they are tearing it down. This is all going in a direction that is entirely different from where we thought even a couple years ago when they did extend Tomas Hertl. And right now they are tearing it down to the studs. And we got together as the broadcast crew and talked about it. And Randy Hahn was the one who said that this was the teardown. Everybody would be using the term rebuild, but now, the rebuild can't begin until the teardown is complete. The teardown is complete, in my opinion. Obviously, I don't know how this season will go, but now you are building things back up. And one of the things that Mike Greer has been, in my opinion, really good about is not being impatient. He has always expressed the idea that you do not get out of this by skipping steps. The Sharks just didn't clear a bunch of cap space and then go try and sign the biggest free agents and spend all that money immediately. No, he's developing talent right now. He is developing chemistry. He is developing identity. And as the team and the prospects and the coaching staff all develop cohesively and concurrently, once you get to that point where you're feeling like you can take that next big step, then you know what type of player will truly come in and fit the coach and the team and the system and the identity of the squad. And that's hard because, again, Mike Greer was brought in to win. And you win in this league long term by being patient and suffering through some losses and hard times. And then you strike, and then you make your big signings. Then you trade away some of the prospect capital and draft capital that you have acquired. And then you focus on the here and now. Mike Greer is just, in my opinion, only moving into an era where we are starting to even talk about the here and now. It is still about the future, but right now the here and now is building towards the future with just a little bit more focus on today, because Macklin Celebrini is here, and Will Smith is here, and Tyler Toffoli is here, and we can go down the list of all these other players that were not here last year. This is a much more talented roster this year, and they are putting themselves in a position to start taking those steps forward. It's hard. I guarantee that Mike Greer on numerous occasions has wondered if this was the right way of doing things, has wondered if this is the way that it has to go, and he has stuck to his guns. He's come back to that conviction that you can't skip steps, that you can't try and do it overnight. You've got to take a long-term approach, which is harder for fans, which is hard on players and coaches, which I'm sure puts you in what feels like a tenuous position with your job, because you come in saying, I have a plan, this is how we're going to get it done. And at the same time, there's a lot of negative sentiment that goes along with that, like losing, like criticism, like people from a distance saying that, you know, things are bad in San Jose, even if they, you know, may have just been having sour grapes about not getting the GM job themselves. But that's a conversation for another time. But you heard the voices from the outside. People were saying negative things about what was going on in San Jose, like it wasn't quote unquote the plan. Now, I'm not saying the ultimate plan was to only win 19 games and have a really, really bad season, but you were trading away big contracts. You were not bringing in big money deals. You were creating cap space. You were planning for the future. When you do that, you are going to have a bad season. And right now, not that we're seeing the payoff in the here and now, but we're starting to see a little bit more of Mike Greer's idea, his mold, his plan, starting to take more and more of that shape. We get a better idea of his vision, and it's, again, not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be a team this year that wins the Stanley Cup. At least I'm not planning. Like I said, if they do, I will not complain. But I think you look at the roster, you see it for what it is. And that is better than a year ago. This is not where Toronto is. This is not where Florida is. This is not where the Kings are. This is not where Edmonton is. Any team can win any game on any night in the National Hockey League. I am not denying that, but you have to be realistic. The team is better than they were a year ago, and I think that is the most important step. You're being better in conjunction with developing young talent. You have more veteran voices. You have more proven voices, and you're bringing up guys that you think are going to be the future of the franchise. It takes time, but we're starting to see, I won't call it payoff, but you're starting to see more of an idea of the vision that's been in place since Mike Greer took over. He was also asked what was the message that he delivered to the team.
You know, it's about compete and earning your opportunities that maybe somewhat in the past guys had were, you know, in the lineup or on the roster that maybe shouldn't have been. And I think now there's, you know, legitimate competition throughout, and there's no one where we don't feel like we have to, you know, force someone onto the lineup. And so I think that was kind of the message to the guys, young and old. If you want a spot and you want to earn something, you gotta go out there and take it. No one's gonna give it to you anymore.
Now, with the injury situation the Sharks were dealing with a year ago, with the lower level of talent that they had, with some of the revolving nature of the roster, yeah, guys who were younger were probably given experience and opportunities ahead of time. Guys that were not yet in that frame of being a consistent NHL player were probably put up more often than they would have otherwise expected. But that's what happens when you are going through a teardown, when you don't have as high a level of talent, and when you don't have injury on your side. Not that injury's ever on your side, but I'll say you didn't have health on your side at all times with the San Jose Sharks. Guys were maybe given opportunity ahead of schedule. And I don't think that's a bad thing, at least in terms of how you're looking at it long term. You can have players get in there ahead of schedule and make the most out of that. How do you maximize a bad situation? See where these young guys are. Yeah, Colin Graf got in there probably ahead of schedule. Henry Thrun probably got in there ahead of schedule. We can go down the list of other players that were quote-unquote ahead of schedule and got the opportunity to play in the NHL. Now, that might not happen to the same extent this year, but that gave those players the opportunity to assess their games, to see where their deficiencies were, to see where their strengths were, and see exactly what it takes to be a player in the National Hockey League. Even if it's not an ideal situation, it doesn't mean that there's nothing to be taken away from the situation that can be used in a positive. And I also think that, you know, Mike Greer and Ryan Warsawski want to tell even the veterans that, hey, you have to fight for it. You have to show us that you want to be in that lineup every night. You have to show us that you are worth the money. You have to show us that we can trust you out there on the ice. Because I don't think they want to be in a situation where guys feel they can just coast a bit. And I don't think that mentality was there last year all along. But I think there were certainly times where when you're in the midst of a double-digit losing streak and when you are dealing with a down season like that, you don't start coasting, but I think it piles on. And I think that probably took a mental toll on all these guys, and they don't want to get into that again. I am sure there will be losing streaks for the Sharks this year. However, you don't want to see them snowball. You want to see a 2 or 3 game losing streak, 4 game snapped, win one, win two, try and play some 500 hockey. That's what you're aiming for. I mean, you look at the start of the last 2 seasons, and they started with what I would consider longer losing streaks. 2 years ago, the Sharks started off 0-5. Nico Sturm got to the media after, I believe, the loss to the Rangers and went out and just tore everything up. And then last year, the Sharks did earn a point in game number two of the season by way of losing to Colorado and taking it to overtime, but it did not turn into a win, and that was a double-digit losing streak to start the season, and that's tough for a team to go through. Now there is a little bit more of the idea of we're going to stop that, we're going to compete, we're not going to let these slides continue, we are going to push you, we are going to push ourselves, we are going to be in a better place overall. More to that point about having those veterans in that are still going to feel the need to compete for their spot, Mike Greer was asked about the importance of having guys like Goodrow in, like a Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah, they're good pros. They play the right way. They carry themselves the right way, and they've won. I think you can't really put a price tag on winning, especially in our sport when you got to get through, you know, four rounds of hockey and grueling hockey and doing all the little things it takes to win. And, you know, when you're a team that hasn't had success like us in the last few years, some of those little details go away, and I think these guys know those details, and I think they'll be a part of our group that holds a standard of doing things the right way and playing the right way. So, you know, it's important to have these players around as we grow.
You cannot put a price on experience. You cannot put a price on veteran leadership. You can juxtapose it with how much it does against the cap, but having guys like a Tyler Toffoli in here, like a Barclay Goodrow, you see the impact that it has on the younger guys. And one of the things that I appreciated was, you know, Tyler Toffoli playing in the first two preseason games. And a lot of times when you get into the preseason, you don't see guys play back-to-back. And that impressed me about Tyler. And, you know, his experience, his knowledge of winning, his overall leadership, I really thought it was fun to watch. And, you know, just seeing him try and establish himself, I think in terms of a leadership role, because he is going to be wearing an A on his sweater this year, showing that he can go out there and play two consecutive nights in the preseason, that he wants to work on his game, that he wants to be out there. I thought that was cool to see. I really appreciated that from him. And also my interactions with him have been really high quality, watching him interact with all the other players, the young guys. He's a pro's pro. You need these guys in with the team. And you had those guys here last year. I'm not trying to speak down on anyone who was here last year or who has been here in the recent couple of years where the Sharks have been down overall. You saw, you know, Erik Karlsson led by example. Tomas Hertl and I had extensive conversations about how he understood how it used to be when he was the kid and he was getting, you know, skills lessons from Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton and Brent Burns. Now he had to be the guy who was in the adult role teaching the kids the young way. They understood it. And I think that when those guys left, when you no longer had Erik Karlsson, when you no longer had Tomas Hertl, when Logan Couture has been dealing with a long-term injury, it's important to have more of those guys out there that can teach the younger and or next generation about A, how to get it done in the NHL, and also what it means to be a Shark. I think a guy like Barclay Goodrow, he knows exactly what it means to be a San Jose Shark. He was here when this team was still one of the prime teams in the NHL. He knows exactly what that means, what it's like when the tank is rocking, what those big games truly feel like. The more of those guys that you have on the roster, the better it is for the young guys and the overall greater ability it lends to the team to win big games and then long-term be in a position to win big games. Greer spoke to that, but also spoke to what it means going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a little bit twofold. I think it is good to have, you know, Cooch and Pickles around who were here when, like you said, it was, one of the toughest places in the league to play in, and we're in the playoffs every season. But at the same time, we don't want to have the crutch of always talking about the past and bringing up the past and things like that. I think we're all trying to look forward. We appreciate what was done here. I think Doug did a great job, and it was something special to be so competitive for such a long time. But now I think it's kind of our turn and the group's turn to kind of start writing their own history.
And that is hard to do, right? Like, you look at a team like the 49ers and how long it took them to be able to move on from the Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Steve Young years. And they didn't, you know, in my mind, truly move on from that until they were under the Harbaugh era, you know, over a decade later, even if they did have a playoff run with Jeff Garcia and Steve Mariucci. Can you imagine how hard it is going to be for the Golden State Warriors to move on from this era? It's been extremely hard for the San Francisco Giants to move on from the Buster Posey, Madison Bumgarner era, or however you want to define that. It doesn't happen overnight, and the only way you quote-unquote move on from the legends of the past is to create the legends of the present. And yes, Jumbo, Marlowe, Pabs, these guys are going to be legends forever in the franchise, but we need new legends. We need Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Tyler Toffoli and Yaroslav Oskarov and these other names that we associate with the future to be the future, to turn into those names that we'll be talking about as well in 20 years' time. All right, that wraps it up for the build-up. Dan Ruzanowski and Jamal Mayers up next as the Sharks take on Anaheim.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.